Of course, he doesn't ask me for my mother's address. He knows it already, stalker that he is. When he pulls up outside the house, I don't comment. What's the point? Do you want to come in? I ask shyly.
I need to work, Anastasia, but I'll be back this evening. What time?
I ignore the unwelcome stab of disappointment. Why do I want to spend every single minute with this controlling sex god? Oh, yes, I've fallen in love with him, and he can fly. Thank you for the more.
My pleasure, Anastasia.
He kisses me, and I inhale his sexy Christian smell. I'll see you later.
Try to stop me, he whispers.
I wave goodbye as he drives off into the Georgia sunshine. I'm still wearing his sweatshirt and his underwear, and I'm too warm. In the kitchen, my mom is in a complete flap. It's not every day she has to entertain a multi-zillionaire, and it's stressing her out. How are you, darling? She asks, and I flush because she must know what I was doing last night. I'm good. Christian took me gliding this morning. I hope the new information will distract her. Gliding? As in, a small plane with no engine? That sort of gliding? I nod. Wow. She's speechless. A novel concept for my mother. She gapes at me, but eventually recovers herself and resumes her original line of questioning. How was last night? Did you talk? Geez, I flush bright scarlet. We talked last night and today. It's getting better. Good. She turns her attention back to the four cookbooks she has open on the kitchen table. Mom, if you like, I'll cook this evening. Oh, honey, that's so kind of you, but I want to do it. Okay. I grimace, knowing full well that my mother's cooking is pretty hit or miss. Perhaps she's improved since she moved to Savannah with Bob. There was a time I wouldn't subject anyone to her cooking. Even, who do I hate? Oh, yes, Mrs. Robinson. Elena. Well, maybe her. Will I ever meet this damned woman? I decide to send a quick thank you to Christian. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, soaring as opposed to soaring. Date, June 2nd, 2011. 10:20 Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. Sometimes you really know how to show a girl a good time. Thank you, Anna X. From Christian Gray. Subject, soaring versus soaring. Date, June 2nd, 2011. 10:24 Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele.
I'll take either of those over your snoring. I had a good time, too. But I always do when I'm with you.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, snoring. Date, June 2nd, 2011. 10:26 Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. I do not snore. And if I do, it's very ungallant of you to point it out. You are no gentleman, Mr. Gray, and you are in the deep south, too. Anna. From Christian Gray. Subject, somniloquy. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:28 Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele.
I have never claimed to be a gentleman, Anastasia. And I think I have demonstrated that point to you on numerous occasions. I am not intimidated by your shouty capitals, but I will confess to a small white lie. No, you don't snore, but you do talk, and it's fascinating. What happened to my kiss?
Christian Gray, CAD and CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Holy shit! I know I talk in my sleep. Kate has told me enough times. What the hell have I said? Oh, no. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, Spill the Beans. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:32 Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. You are a cad and a scoundrel. Definitely no gentleman. So, what did I say? No kisses for you until you talk. From Christian Gray. Subject, Sleeping Talking Beauty. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 10:35 Eastern Standard Time. To Anastasia Steele. It would be most ungallant of me to say, and I have already been chastised for that. But if you behave yourself, I may tell you this evening. I do have to go into a meeting now. Laters, baby. Christian Gray, CEO, CAD, and Scoundrel, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Right. I shall maintain radio silence until this evening. I fume. Jeez. Suppose I've said I hate him, or worse still, that I love him, in my sleep. Oh, I hope not. I am not ready to tell him that, and I'm sure he's not ready to hear it, if he ever wants to hear it. I scowl at my computer and decide that whatever Mom cooks, I will make bread to vent my frustrations while kneading the dough. My mom has decided on gazpacho soup and a barbecue with steaks marinated in olive oil, garlic, and lemon. Christian likes meat, and it's simple to do. Bob has volunteered to man the barbecue grill. What is it about men and fire? I ponder as I trail after my mother through the supermarket with the shopping cart. As we browse the raw meat cabinet, my phone rings. I scramble for it, thinking it may be Christian. I don't recognize the number. Hello? I answer breathlessly. Anastasia Steele? Yes? It's Elizabeth Morgan from SIP. Oh, hi. I'm calling to offer you the job of assistant to Mr. Jack Hyde. We'd like you to start on Monday. Wow, that's great. Thank you. You know the salary details. Yes. Yes, I accept your offer. I'd love to come and work for you. Excellent. We'll see you Monday at 8:30 a.m. See you then. Goodbye. And thank you. I beam at my mom. You have a job? I nod gleefully, and she squeals and hugs me in the middle of Publix supermarket. Congratulations, darling. We have to buy some champagne. She's clapping her hands and jumping up and down. Is she 42 or 12? I glance down at my phone and frown. There's a missed call from Christian. He never phones me. I call him straight back. Anastasia. He answers immediately. Hi. I murmur shyly. I have to return to Seattle. Something's come up. I am on my way to Hilton Head now. Please apologize to your mother. I can't make dinner. He sounds very businesslike. Nothing serious, I hope. I have a situation that I have to deal with. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll send Taylor to collect you from the airport if I can't come myself. He sounds cold, angry even, but for the first time, I don't immediately think it's me. Okay, I hope you sort out your situation. Have a safe flight. You too, baby. He breathes, and with those words, my Christian is back. Then he hangs up. Oh, no. The last situation he had was my virginity. Geez, I hope it's nothing like that. I gaze at my mom. Her earlier jubilation has metamorphosed into concern. It's Christian. He's had to go back to Seattle. He apologizes. Oh, what a shame, darling. We can still have our barbecue, and now we have something to celebrate. Your new job. You have to tell me all about it. It's late afternoon, and Mom and I are lying beside the pool.
My mother has relaxed to the point where she is literally horizontal now that Mr. Megabucks is not coming to dinner. As I lie in the sun, endeavoring to lose the pail, I think about yesterday evening and breakfast today. I think about Christian, and my ridiculous grin refuses to subside. It keeps creeping across my face, unbidden and disconcerting, as I recall our various conversations and what we did, what he did. There seems to be a tidal shift in Christian's attitude. He denies it, but he admits he's trying for more. What could have changed? What has altered since he sent his long email and when I saw him yesterday? What has he done? I sit up suddenly, almost spilling my soda. He had dinner with her. Elena. Holy fuck! My scalp prickles at the realization. Did she say something to him? Ugh. To have been a fly on the wall during their dinner. I could have landed in her soup or on her wine glass and choked her. What is it, Anna? Honey? Mom asks, startled from her torpor. I'm just having a moment, Mom. What time is it?
About 6:30 p.m., darling.
He wouldn't have landed yet. Can I ask him? Should I ask him? Or perhaps she has nothing to do with it. I fervently hope so. What did I say in my sleep? Crap! Some unguarded remark while dreaming about him, I bet. Whatever it is, or was, I hope the sea change is coming from within him and not because of her. I am sweltering in this damned heat. I need another dip in the pool. As I get ready for bed, I switch on my computer. I have heard nothing from Christian, not even a word that he's arrived safely. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, safe arrival. Date, June 2, 2011, 22:32, Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. Dear sir, please let me know that you have arrived safely. I am starting to worry. Thinking of you. Your Anna. X. 3 minutes later, I hear the ping from my email inbox. From Christian Gray. Subject, sorry. Date, June 2, 2011, 1936. To Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, I have arrived safely, and please accept my apologies for not letting you know. I don't want to cause you any worry. It's heartwarming to know that you care for me. I am thinking of you, too, and as ever looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. I sigh. Christian is back to formality. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, the situation. Date, June 2, 2011, 22:40, Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. Dear Mr. Gray, I think it is very evident that I care for you deeply. How could you doubt that? I hope your situation is under control. Your Anna. X. P.S. Are you going to tell me what I said in my sleep? From Christian Gray. Subject, pleading the fifth. Date, June 2, 2011, 1945. To Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, I like very much that you care for me. The situation here is not yet resolved. With regard to your P.S., the answer is no.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, pleading insanity. Date, June 2, 2011. 22:48, Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Gray. I hope it was amusing, but you should know I cannot accept any responsibility for what comes out of my mouth when I am unconscious. In fact, you probably misheard me. A man of your advanced years is surely a little deaf. From Christian Gray. Subject, pleading guilty. Date,
June 2nd, 2011, 1952. 2. Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, sorry, could you speak up? I can't hear you.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, pleading insanity again. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 2254, Eastern Standard Time. 2. Christian Gray. You are driving me crazy. From Christian Gray. Subject, I hope so. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 1959. 2. Anastasia Steele.
Dear Miss Steele, I intend to do exactly that on Friday evening. Looking forward to it.
Winking emoticon. Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, grrr. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 2302, Eastern Standard Time. 2. Christian Gray. I am officially pissed at you. Good night, Miss A. R. Steele. From Christian Gray. Subject, Wildcats. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 2005. 2. Anastasia Steele.
Are you growling at me, Miss Steele? I possess a cat of my own for growlers.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Cat of his own? I've never seen a cat in his apartment. No, I am not going to answer him. Oh, he can be so exasperating sometimes. 50 shades of exasperating. I clamber into bed and lie glaring at the ceiling as my eyes adjust to the dark. I hear another ping from my computer. I am not going to look. No, definitely not. No, I am not going to look. Gah! Like the fool I am, I cannot resist the lure of Christian Gray's words. From Christian Gray. Subject, what you said in your sleep. Date, June 2nd, 2011, 2020. 2. Anastasia Steele.
Anastasia, I'd rather hear you say the words that you uttered in your sleep when you're conscious. That's why I won't tell you. Go to sleep. You'll need to be rested with what I have in mind for you tomorrow.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. Oh, no. What have I said? It's as bad as I think, I'm sure. Chapter 25. My mother hugs me tightly. Follow your heart, darling, and please, please try not to overthink things. Relax and enjoy yourself. You are so young, sweetheart. You have so much life to experience yet. Just let it happen. You deserve the best of everything. She whispers in my ear, her heartfelt words comforting. She kisses my hair. Oh, Mom! Hot, unwelcome tears prick my eyes as I cling to her. Darling, you know what they say. You have to kiss a lot of frogs before you find your prince. I give her a lopsided, bittersweet smile. I think I've kissed a prince, Mom. I hope he doesn't turn into a frog. She gives me her most endearing, motherly, absolute unconditional love smile, and I marvel at the love I feel for this woman as we hug again.
Anna, they're calling your flight.
Bob's voice is anxious. Will you visit, Mom? Of course, darling. Soon. Love you. Me too. Her eyes are red with unshed tears as she releases me. I hate leaving her. I hug Bob and, turning, head to the gate. I do not have time for the first-class lounge today. I will myself not to glance back. But I do, and Bob is holding my mom, and tears are streaming down her face. I can no longer hold mine back. I put my head down and proceed to the gate, keeping my eyes on the shiny white floor, blurred through my watery tears. Once on board, in the luxury of first class, I curl up in my seat and try to compose myself. It is always painful to wrench myself away from Mom. She is scatty, disorganized, but newly insightful, and she loves me. Unconditional love. What every child deserves from its parents. I frown at my wayward thoughts and, pulling out my BlackBerry, stare at it despondently. What does Christian know of love? Seems he didn't get the unconditional love he was entitled to during his very early years. My heart twists, and my mother's words waft like a zephyr through my mind. Yes, Anna. Hell, what do you need? A neon sign flashing on his forehead? She thinks Christian loves me, but then, she's my mother. Of course she'd think that. She thinks I deserve the best of everything. I frown. It's true, and in a moment of startling clarity, I see it. It's very simple. I want his love. I need Christian Grey to love me. This is why I'm so reticent about our relationship, because on some basic, fundamental level, I recognize within me a deep-seated compulsion to be loved and cherished. And because of his 50 shades, I am holding myself back. The BDSM is a distraction from the real issue. The sex is amazing. He's wealthy. He's beautiful. But this is all meaningless without his love. And the real heart fail is that I don't know if he's capable of love. He doesn't even love himself. I recall his self-loathing, her love being the only form he found acceptable. Punished, whipped, beaten, whatever their relationship entailed, he feels undeserving of love. Why does he feel like that? How can he feel like that? His words haunt me. It's very hard to grow up in a perfect family when you're not perfect. I close my eyes, imagining his pain, and I can't begin to comprehend it. I shudder as I remember that I may have divulged too much. What have I confessed to Christian in my sleep? What secrets have I revealed? I stare at the BlackBerry in the vague hope that it will give me some answers. Rather unsurprisingly, it is not very forthcoming. As we haven't taken off yet, I decide to email my 50 shades. From Anastasia Steele. Subject: Homeward Bound. Date: June 3, 2011, 12:53 Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey. Dear Mr. Grey, I am once again ensconced in first class, for which I thank you. I am counting the minutes until I see you this evening, and perhaps torturing the truth out of you about my nocturnal admissions. Your Anna, X. From Christian Grey. Subject: Homeward Bound. Date: June 3, 2011, 9:58. To Anastasia Steele. Anastasia, I look forward to seeing you. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Inc. His response makes me frown. It sounds clipped and formal, not his usual witty, pithy style. From Anastasia Steele. Subject: Homeward Bound. Date: June 3, 2011, 13:01 Eastern Standard Time. To Christian Grey. Dearest Mr. Grey, I hope everything is okay, re the situation. The tone of your email is worrying. Anna, X. From Christian Grey. Subject: Homeward Bound. Date: June 3, 2011, 10:04. To Anastasia Steele. Anastasia, the situation could be better. Have you taken off yet? If so, you should not be emailing. You are putting yourself at risk, in direct contravention of the rule regarding your personal safety. I meant what I said about punishments. Christian Grey, CEO, Grey Enterprises Holdings, Inc.
Crap. Okay. Geez. What is eating him? Perhaps the situation? Maybe Taylor's gone AWOL. Maybe he's dropped a few million on the stock market. Whatever the reason. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, overreaction. Date, June 3rd, 2011. 1306 Eastern Standard Time. 2. Christian Gray. Dear Mr. Grumpy, the aircraft doors are still open. We are delayed, but only by 10 minutes. My welfare and that of the passengers around me is vouchsafed. You may stow your twitchy palm for now. Miss Steele. From Christian Gray. Subject, apologies. Twitchy palm stowed. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 10:08. 2. Anastasia Steele.
I miss you and your smart mouth, Miss Steele. I want you safely home.
Christian Gray, CEO, Gray Enterprises Holdings, Inc. From Anastasia Steele. Subject, apology accepted. Date, June 3rd, 2011, 1310, Eastern Standard Time. 2. Christian Gray. They are shutting the doors. You won't hear another peep from me, especially given your deafness. Laters, Anna X. I switch off the BlackBerry, unable to shake my anxiety. Something is up with Christian. Perhaps the situation is out of hand. I sit back, glancing up at the overhead bin where my bags are stowed. I managed this morning, with my mother's help, to buy Christian a small gift to say thank you for first class and for the gliding. I smile at the memory of the soaring. That was something else. I don't know yet if I'll give my silly gift to him. He might think it's childish, and if he's in a strange mood, maybe not. I am both eager to return and apprehensive of what awaits me at my journey's end. As I mentally flick through all the scenarios that could be the situation, I become aware that once again, the only empty seat is beside me. I shake my head as the thought crosses my mind that Christian might have purchased the adjacent seat so that I couldn't talk to anyone. I dismiss the idea as ridiculous. No one could be that controlling, that jealous, surely. I close my eyes as the plane taxis toward the runway. I emerge into the SeaTac arrivals terminal 8 hours later to find Taylor waiting and holding up a sign that reads, Miss A. Steele. Honestly, but it's good to see him. Hello, Taylor.
Miss Steele.
He greets me formally, but I see a hint of a smile in his sharp brown eyes. He looks his usual immaculate self, smart charcoal suit, white shirt, and charcoal tie. I do know what you look like, Taylor. You don't need a sign. And I do wish you'd call me Anna.
Anna, can I take your bags, please?
No, I can manage. Thank you. His lips tighten perceptibly. But if you'd be more comfortable taking them. I stammer.
Thank you.
He grabs my backpack and my newly acquired wheelie case for the clothes my mother has bought me.
This way, ma'am.
I sigh. He's so polite. I remember, though I would like to erase it from my memory, that this man has bought me underwear. In fact, and the thought unsettles me, he's the only man who's ever bought me underwear. Even Ray's never had to endure that hardship. We walk in silence to the black Audi SUV outside in the airport parking lot, and he holds the door open for me. I clamber in, wondering if wearing such a short skirt for the return to Seattle was a good idea. It was cool and welcome in Georgia. Here, I feel exposed. Once Taylor has stowed my bags in the trunk, we set off for Escala. The journey is slow, caught up in rush hour traffic. Taylor keeps his eyes on the road ahead. Taciturn does not begin to describe him. I can bear the silence no longer. How's Christian, Taylor?
Mr. Gray is preoccupied, Miss Steele.
Oh, this must be the situation. I am mining a seam of gold.
Preoccupied?
Yes, ma'am.
I frown at Taylor, and he glances at me in the rearview mirror, our eyes meeting. He's saying no more. Geez, he can be as tight-lipped as a control freak himself. Is he okay?
I believe so, ma'am.
Are you more comfortable calling me Miss Steele?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. Well, that curtails our conversation, and we continue in silence. I begin to think that Taylor's recent slip, when he told me that Christian had been hell on wheels, was an anomaly. Perhaps he's embarrassed about it, worried that he's been disloyal. The silence is suffocating. Could you put some music on, please?
Certainly, ma'am. What would you like to hear?
Something soothing. I see a smile play on Taylor's lips as our eyes meet briefly again in the mirror.
Yes, ma'am.
He pushes a few buttons on the steering wheel, and the gentle strains of Pachelbel's canon fills the space between us. Oh, yes. This is what I need. Thank you. I sit back as we drive slowly but steadily along Interstate 5 into Seattle. 25 minutes later, he drops me outside the impressive facade that is the entrance to Escala.
"In you go, ma'am," he says, holding the door open for me. "I'll bring up your luggage."
His expression is soft, warm, avuncular even. Geez, Uncle Taylor. What a thought. Thank you for meeting me.
It's a pleasure, Miss Steele.
He smiles, and I head into the building. The doorman nods and waves. As I ride up to the 30th floor, 1,000 butterflies stretch their wings and flutter erratically in my stomach. Why am I so nervous? And I know it's because I have no idea what kind of mood Christian's going to be in when I arrive. My inner goddess is hopeful for one type of mood. My subconscious, like me, is fraught with nerves. The elevator doors open, and I'm in the foyer. It is so strange not to be met by Taylor. Of course, he's parking the car. In the great room, Christian is on his BlackBerry, talking quietly as he stares through the glass doors at the early evening Seattle skyline. He's wearing a gray suit with the jacket undone, and he's running his hand through his hair. He's agitated, tense even. Oh no, what's wrong? Agitated or not, he's still a fine sight. How can he look so arresting?
No trace? Okay. Yes.
He turns and sees me, and his whole demeanor changes, from tension to relief to something else, a look that calls directly to my inner goddess, a look of sensual carnality, his eyes scorching. My mouth goes dry and desire blooms in my body. Whoa.
Keep me informed,
he snaps and shuts off his phone as he strides purposefully toward me. I stand paralyzed as he closes the distance between us, devouring me with his eyes. Holy shit. Something is amiss. The strain in his jaw, the anxiety around his eyes. He shrugs out of his jacket, undoes his dark tie, and slings them both onto the couch en route to me. Then his arms are wrapped around me, and he's pulling me to him, hard, fast, gripping my ponytail to tilt my head up, kissing me like his life depends on it. What the hell? He drags the hair tie painfully out of my hair, but I don't care. There's a desperate, primal quality to his kiss. He needs me, for whatever reason, at this point in time, and I have never felt so desired and coveted. It's dark and sensual and alarming all at the same time. I kiss him back with equal fervor, my fingers twisting and fisting in his hair, our tongues entwine, our passion and ardor erupting between us. He tastes divine, hot, sexy, and his scent, all body wash and Christian, is arousing. He drags his mouth away from mine, and he's staring down at me, gripped by some unnamed emotion. What's wrong? I breathe.
I'm so glad you're back. Shower with me, now.
I can't decide if it's a request or a command.
Yes,
I whisper, and he grabs my hand, leading me out of the big room into his bedroom to his bathroom. Once there, he releases me and turns the water on in the far too spacious shower. Spinning around slowly, he gazes at me, eyes hooded.
I like your skirt. It's very short,
he says, his voice low.
You have great legs.
He steps out of his shoes and reaches down to take off each of his socks, never taking his eyes off me. I am rendered speechless by the look of hunger in his eyes. Wow, to be this wanted by this Greek god. I mirror his actions and step out of my black flats. Suddenly, he reaches for me, backing me up against the wall, kissing me, my face, my throat, my lips, running his hands through my hair. I feel the cool, smooth-tiled wall at my back as he pushes himself against me, so that I'm flattened between his heat and the chill of the ceramic. Tentatively, I place my arms on his upper arms, and he groans as I squeeze tightly.
I want you now, here, fast, hard.
He breathes, and his hands are on my thighs, pushing up my skirt.
Are you still bleeding?
No, I flush.
Good.
His thumbs hook over my white cotton panties, and abruptly he drops to his knees as he tugs them off. My skirt is now rucked up so that I'm naked from the waist down and panting, wanting. He grabs my hips, pushing me against the wall again, and kisses me at the apex of my thighs. Grabbing my upper thighs, he forces my legs apart. I groan loudly, feeling his tongue circling my clitoris. Oh, my! Tipping my head back involuntarily, I moan as my fingers find their way into his hair. His tongue is relentless, strong and insistent, washing over me, swirling around and around, again and again, nonstop. It's exquisite. The intensity of feeling, it's almost painful. My body starts to quicken, and he releases me.
What? No!
My breathing is ragged as I pant, gazing at him with delicious anticipation. He grabs my face with both hands, holding me firmly, and he kisses me hard, thrusting his tongue into my mouth so I can taste my arousal. Unzipping his fly, he frees himself, grabs the backs of my thighs, and lifts me.
Wrap your legs around me, baby,
he commands, his voice urgent, strained. I do as I'm told and wrap my arms around his neck, and he moves quickly and sharply, filling me.
Ah!
He gasps, and I groan. Holding my behind, his fingers digging into my soft flesh, he begins to move, slowly at first, a steady, even tempo. But as his control unravels, he speeds up, faster and faster.
Ah!
I tip my head back and concentrate on the invading, punishing, heavenly sensation, pushing me, onward, higher, up. And when I can take no more, I explode around him, spiraling into an intense, all-consuming orgasm. He lets go with a deep growl, and he buries his head in my neck as he buries himself inside me, groaning loudly and incoherently as he finds his release. His breathing is erratic, but he kisses me tenderly, not moving, still inside me, and I blink, unseeing, into his eyes. As he comes into focus, he gently pulls out of me, holding me steady while I place my feet on the floor. The bathroom is now cloudy with steam, and hot. I feel overdressed.
You seem pleased to see me, I murmur with a shy smile. His lips quirk up.
Yes, Miss Steele, I think my pleasure is pretty self-evident. Come, let me get you in the shower.
He undoes the next three buttons of his shirt, removes the cufflinks, tugs it over his head, and discards it on the floor. Taking off his suit pants and boxer briefs, He kicks them to one side. He begins to undo the buttons on my blouse while I watch him, yearning to reach out and stroke his chest, but I contain myself.
"How was your journey?"
he asks mildly. He seems so much calmer now, his apprehension gone, dissolved by sexual congress.
"Fine, thank you," I murmur, still breathless. "Thanks once again for first class. It really is a much nicer way to travel." I smile shyly at him. "I have some news," I add nervously.
"Oh?"
He looks down at me as he undoes the last button, slips my blouse down my arms, and throws it on top of his discarded clothes.
"I have a job."
He stills, then smiles at me, his eyes warm and soft.
"Congratulations, Miss Steele. Now will you tell me where?"
he teases.
"You don't know?"
He shakes his head, frowning.
"Why would I know?"
"With your stalking capabilities, I thought you might have..." I trail off as his face falls.
"Anastasia, I wouldn't dream of interfering in your career, unless you ask me to, of course."
He looks wounded. "So you have no idea which company?"
"No. I know there are 4 publishing companies in Seattle, so I am assuming it's one of them."
S.I.P.
"Oh, the small one. Good. Well done."
He leans forward and kisses my forehead.
"Clever girl. When do you start?"
"Monday."
"That's soon, eh? I'd better take advantage of you while I still can. Turn around."
I am thrown by his casual command, but do as I'm bid, and he undoes my bra and unzips my skirt. He pushes my skirt down, cupping my behind as he does and kissing my shoulder. He leans against me, and his nose nuzzles my hair, inhaling deeply. He squeezes my buttocks.
"You intoxicate me, Miss Steele, and you calm me. Such a heady combination."
He kisses my hair. Grabbing my hand, he tugs me into the shower.
"Ow!"
I squeal. The water is practically scalding. Christian grins down at me as the water cascades over him.
"It's only a little hot water."
And actually, he's right. It feels heavenly, washing off the sticky Georgia morning and the stickiness from our lovemaking.
"Turn around," he orders,
and I comply, turning to face the wall.
"I want to wash you," he murmurs,
and reaches for the body wash. He squirts a little into his hand. "I have something else to tell you," I murmur as his hands start on my shoulders.
"Oh, yes?"
he asks mildly. I steel myself with a deep breath. "My friend Jose's photography show is opening Thursday in Portland." He stills, his hands hovering over my breasts. I have emphasized the word friend.
"Yes, what about it?"
he asks sternly. "I said I would go. Do you want to come with me?" After what feels like a monumental amount of time, he slowly starts washing me again.
"What time?"
"The opening is at 7:30 p.m. He kisses my ear.
"Okay."
Inside, my subconscious relaxes and then collapses, slumped into an old, battered armchair.
"Were you nervous about asking me?"
"Yes. How can you tell?"
"Anastasia, your whole body's just relaxed,"
he says dryly. "Well, you just seem to be, on the jealous side."
"Yes, I am,"
he says darkly.
"And you'd do well to remember that. But thank you for asking. We'll take Charlie Tango."
"Oh, the helicopter, of course. Silly me. More flying. Cool." I grin. "Can I wash you?" I ask.
"I don't think so,"
he murmurs, and kisses me gently on my neck to take the sting out of his refusal. I pout at the wall as he caresses my back with soap. "Will you ever let me touch you?" I ask boldly. He stills again, his hand on my behind.
"Put your hands on the wall, Anastasia. I'm going to take you again.
He murmurs in my ear as he grabs my hips, and I know that the discussion is over. Later, we are seated at the breakfast bar, dressed in bathrobes, having consumed Mrs. Jones's rather excellent pasta alle vongole.
More wine? Christian asks, gray eyes glowing.
A small glass, please. The Sancerre is crisp and delicious. Christian pours one for me and one for himself.
How's the, situation that brought you to Seattle? I ask tentatively.
He frowns. Out of hand, he murmurs bitterly. But nothing for you to worry about, Anastasia. I have plans for you this evening.
Oh?
Yes. I want you ready and waiting in the playroom in 15 minutes.
He stands and gazes down at me.
You can get ready in your room. Incidentally, the walk-in closet is now full of clothes for you. I don't want any arguments about them.
He narrows his eyes, daring me to say something. When I don't, he stalks off to his study.
Me? Argue? With you, 50 Shades?
It's more than my backside's worth. I sit on the bar stool, momentarily stupefied, trying to assimilate this morsel of information. He's bought me clothes. I roll my eyes in an exaggerated fashion, knowing full well he can't see me. Car, phone, computer, clothes. It'll be a damn condo next, and then I really will be his mistress.
Ho, my subconscious has her snarky face on. I ignore her and make my way upstairs toward my room.
So, it is still mine. Why? I thought he'd agreed to let me sleep with him. I suppose he's not used to sharing his personal space, but then, neither am I. I console myself with the thought that at least I have somewhere to escape from him. Examining the door, I find that it has a lock, but no key. I wonder briefly if Mrs. Jones has a spare. I'll ask her. I open the closet door and close it again quickly.
Holy crap! He's spent a fortune!
It resembles Kate's. So many clothes hanging neatly on the rail. Deep down, I know that they'll all fit. But I have no time to think about that. I have to get kneeling in the red room of pain, or pleasure, hopefully, this evening. Kneeling by the door, I am naked except for my panties. My heart is in my mouth. Geez, I thought after the bathroom he would have had enough. The man is insatiable, or maybe all men are like him. I have no idea, no one to compare him to. Closing my eyes, I try to calm myself down, to connect with my inner sub. She's there, somewhere, hiding behind my inner goddess. Anticipation runs bubbling like soda through my veins. What will he do? I take a deep, steadying breath, but I cannot deny it. I'm excited, aroused, wet already. This is so... I want to think wrong, but... somehow, it's not. It's right for Christian. It's what he wants. And after the last few days, after all he's done, I have to man up and take whatever he decides he wants, whatever he thinks he needs. The memory of his look when I came in this evening, the longing in his face, his determined stride toward me, like I was an oasis in the desert. I'd do almost anything to see that look again. I press my thighs together at the delicious memory, and it reminds me that I need to spread my knees. I shuffle them apart. How long will he make me wait? The wait is crippling me with a dark and tantalizing desire. I glance quickly around the subtly lit room, the cross, the table, the couch, the bench, that bed. It looms so large, and it's made up with red satin sheets. Which piece of apparatus will he use? The door opens and Christian breezes in, ignoring me completely. I glance down quickly,
staring at my hands, positioned with care on my spread thighs. Placing something on the large chest beside the door, he strolls casually toward the bed. I indulge myself in a quick glimpse at him, and my heart almost lurches to a stop. He's naked, except for those soft, ripped jeans, top button casually undone. Jeez, he looks so freaking hot. My subconscious is frantically fanning herself, and my inner goddess is swaying and writhing to some primal carnal rhythm. She's so ready. I lick my lips instinctively. My blood pounds through my body, thick and heavy with salacious hunger. What is he going to do to me? Turning, he nonchalantly walks back to the chest of drawers. Opening one, he begins to remove items and place them on the top. My curiosity burns, blazes even, but I resist the overwhelming temptation to sneak a quick peek. When he finishes what he's doing, he comes to stand in front of me. I can see his naked feet, and I want to kiss every inch of them, run my tongue over his instep, suck each of his toes. Holy shit.
You look lovely,
he breathes. I keep my head down, conscious that he's staring at me while I am practically naked. I feel the flush as it slowly spreads over my face. He bends down and cups my chin, forcing my face up to meet his gaze.
You are one beautiful woman, Anastasia, and you're all mine,
he murmurs.
Stand up.
His command is soft, full of sensual promise. Shakily, I get to my feet.
Look at me,
he breathes, and I stare up into his smoldering gaze. It is his dom gaze, cold, hard, and sexy as hell, seven shades of sin in one enticing look. My mouth dries, and I know I will do anything he asks. An almost cruel smile plays across his lips.
We don't have a signed contract, Anastasia, but we've discussed limits. And I want to reiterate we have safe words, okay?
Holy fuck. What has he got planned that I need safe words?
What are they?
He asks authoritatively. I frown slightly at his question, and his face hardens perceptibly.
What are the safe words, Anastasia?
He says slowly and deliberately. Yellow, I mumble.
And?
He prompts, his mouth setting in a hard line. Red, I breathe.
Remember those.
And I can't help it. I raise my eyebrow at him and am about to remind him of my GPA, but the sudden frosty glint in his icy gray eyes stops me in my tracks.
Don't start with your smart mouth in here, Miss Steele, or I will fuck it with you on your knees. Do you understand?
I swallow instinctively. Okay. I blink rapidly, chastened. Actually, it's his tone of voice rather than the threat that intimidates me.
Well?
Yes, sir, I mumble hastily.
Good girl.
He pauses as he stares at me.
My intention is not that you should use the safe word because you're in pain. What I intend to do to you will be intense, very intense, and you have to guide me. Do you understand?
Not really. Intense? Wow.
This is about touch, Anastasia. You will not be able to see me or hear me, but you'll be able to feel me.
I frown. Not hear him? How is that going to work? He turns, and I hadn't noticed that above the chest is a sleek, flat, matte black box. As he waves his hand in front, the box splits in half. Two doors slide open, revealing a CD player and a host of buttons. Christian presses several of these buttons in sequence. Nothing happens, but he seems satisfied. I am mystified. When he turns to face me again, he wears his small, I have a secret, smile.
I am going to tie you to that bed, Anastasia, but I'm going to blindfold you first, and...
He reveals his iPod in his hand.
You will not be able to hear me. All you will hear is the music I am going to play for you.
Okay, a musical interlude. Not what I was expecting. Does he ever do what I expect? Jeez, I hope it's not rap.
Come.
Taking my hand, he leads me over to the antique four-poster bed. There are shackles attached at each corner, fine metal chains with leather cuffs, glinting against the red satin. Oh boy, I think my heart is going to jump out of my chest, and I'm melting from the inside out, desire coursing through me. Could I be any more excited?
Stand here.
I am facing the bed. He leans down and whispers in my ear.
Wait here. Keep your eyes on the bed. Picture yourself lying there bound and totally at my mercy.
Oh, my.